Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank Ken and Marion for that lovely prelude music. I don't know about you, but it's a mad dash to get here, and then I can sit and kind of have a quick meditate before we start. So thank you so much. Our first song is number one, We Sing to You, O God. Number one in Sing the Journey, We Sing to You, O God. Please stand if you can. We will sing all four verses.
Good morning, and thank you to Marcia for choosing that song. That was a faith statement, if ever I heard one. I would like to welcome all of you who decided to come, even though it was -7 this morning, and all of the puddles in the parking lot were frozen, and we have a hint of what is to come. So you scrounged around in your closets and you found warmer clothing. You put your gloves on and you came out. And we also welcome all of those who stayed home, who decided to worship virtually, still together with us. Everyone is welcome. I would like to read from Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verses 1 to 5. The Lord is king. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Let's respond to that invitation by reading together the call to worship printed in our bulletin. And you see it says right and left there. On my right, that is the east side. So if you consider yourself to be on the east side, you will read the bold print, the right print. And those on the west side, on my left, will read the left side. And you'll see me flinging my arms if you're confused. What will you offer the body of Christ today? Bring all that you have. Bring all that you are, the gifts of silence and the gifts of words and welcome, the gifts of leading and the gifts of following are welcome, the gifts of doubt and the gifts of faith are welcome, the gifts of the head and the gifts of the heart are welcome. The gifts of planning and the gifts of spontaneity are welcome. May all that we are as individuals come together to strengthen the living body of the Church, Christ incarnate. Let's pray together. Life-giving God, may your Holy Spirit inspire our praise and our prayers. Open our hearts and minds to your presence among us and within us. Come alive in our words and actions as we lead in worship. To you alone belongs all praise and honor and glory and blessing, now and to the end of time. Amen.
We are now going to join together to sing some songs of praise, and actually I think probably all the hymns this morning are hymns of praise. But we will start with number 15 and sing The Journey, Santo, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy. We will sing two verses in English. We will just sing through it twice. Please stand if you can and join in the singing. For that wonderful singing, and we will now turn to the number 31 in the same book, He Came Down. Number 31. Oh.
I am here to present to you some opportunities, and after I have done that, you can present your offerings. It says opportunities, offering, and sharing. The sharing itself is an offering. It's much easier, well, for some of us anyway, to keep our own personal things personal. Keep it private. It's my own business. Nobody else needs to know about it. But here is our opportunity in this community of believers to bring these things together, to trust one another, and to share the things that are heavy on our hearts, or sometimes not heavy. Sometimes they're simply joyous, exuberant, and thanksgiving. But it does take a little bit of courage. So let's start, first of all, with the opportunities as they're printed in the bulletin. Right at the top of the page, you see that today you have an opportunity. If you would like to stay longer, because the worship service isn't quite long enough, you'd like to spend more time together, we can sit together, for those who are interested, and look over the revisions that have been made to our new constitution. We haven't voted on it yet, so it's very brave of me to consider it our new constitution. Nonetheless, some changes have been made, and this is the first of two public meetings that will be held. So if you have already put your roast in the oven and you can't stand for it to be smoking out the windows, that's okay. Next Sunday, you'll have a second opportunity. So if today is suitable, stay a few minutes today. If next Sunday is better, stay next Sunday. And also, it's not printed here, but after our second public meeting next Sunday, the leadership team will also have a meeting following the meeting, following the meeting. So keep this group in your prayers as they work on your behalf. Then just below that one, for those who have reports that need to go into that book, the annual general meeting is coming up on November 20th. That's a Saturday. So we need to have the reports into the office by November 9th. That's next week. So let's not leave it until then. I have put a yellow sticky on my desk so that I will remember to do mine. It's easy to overlook that. Then the third one there in line is the communion service that is to be held here on Sunday, November 14th. Prepare your hearts, and if you need to go to your neighbor and make anything right, you still have 2 weeks to do that. Right below that, we have February 18th to 20th. We just skipped right from November 14th through to the middle of February. We are planning to have a guest speaker, Harry Huebner, from CMU, come and present his portable Proclaiming Jesus Christ in a Religiously Plural World. And we do hope that he will be able to come in person. It's so much more effective that way. And for those of you who know Harry, he is very effective. So if you have friends or neighbors that you think, maybe this is a good chance to invite someone to a meeting that's not too churchy, think about that. It'll be probably, as our practice has been, Friday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and then he will also present the sermon on Sunday of that weekend. Go down below the Pray For box, and there is one last opportunity, Saturday, November 6th. So that's this coming Saturday. If you would like to join an MCC virtual conference, peace conference entitled Restoring Justice, there are ways to do that. You will need a computer or a friend who has a computer and who can figure these things out. If you would like to join that and you don't have either of those other two, come to the office and we will try to help you.
Yeah, today, October 31st, is a very important anniversary in the history of the church. It involves us as well. 104 years ago, I had to do some quick math here, in 1517, 504 years ago, pardon me, 1517, today, Martin Luther nailed his proclamations and theses on the door of a church in Wittenberg, Germany. And nobody at that time, including Martin Luther, knew what ramifications that was going to have, but that led to a chain of events which caused chaos throughout the world for hundreds of years, and the Protestant Reformation, which involves ultimately also the formation of the Mennonite faith. So a bit of a commemoration for that big event, which is part of our history as well.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for gathering us to yourself and for offering us the opportunity to bring what we have to you. We have already acknowledged that you are far above us, that you deserve our adoration and our praise, and we acknowledge you as King. We acknowledge that you establish justice and righteousness in the earth, and for this we are grateful. We thank you that this does give us joy and peace and love. We pray that this would grow more and more within us with each day, although we do confess that we fall short. We do not fulfill our potential in any way, and we come to you again and again and again, knowing that your forgiveness is always ready and open. And so with joy, we come before you, and we present even the things that bother us, bring us down, the things that are joyous in our life. We just, as children share their days, so we share our lives with you and with each other. We thank you that you have given us this place to gather, and we pray for the other churches that are also gathering, whether Mennonite churches or other churches here in town. We pray for Restoration House. We pray for North Star Mennonite Church in Drake and for their leader. We thank you that we have come this far, and we remember all of those saints who have gone before us, who have risked their lives, and upon whose faithfulness we are also building. The foundation, of course, being Jesus Christ, but all of us together building towards the future as we lean towards you. And in the midst of it, we recognize there is pain and struggle along the way, and we thank you that we have the opportunity to remember those gone before us and to receive comfort and assurance from the friends around us. Not everyone is so fortunate to have all of these comforts and joys so ready and so present. We pray for the AIMM congregations, those African Mennonite congregations that are struggling so severely with their circumstances. We remember them because they are our current, present brothers and sisters. We pray for their safety, for their security. Give them strength in their faith. We also pray for the witness workers in Korea and the struggles that they are facing right now. Having just acknowledged International Witness Sunday, help us not to become so concerned about our own circumstances that we forget the many who are continuing to work on your behalf internationally and at home. We also continue that tradition that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
I'd ask you now to turn in your hymn books to number 121. That's the blue hymn book. And we will sing, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, verses 1, 2, and 4. So we will omit verse 3. Please stand if you can.
Just at the close of that hymn, I was looking underneath the title, and there it was written in bold, not in bold, in caps, all caps, in German, Großer Gott, wir loben dich. And then I remembered how we used to sing that in German in my home church. Oh, it was so wonderful. Maybe one day again we'll sing a few verses here and there in German. I am here to read the scripture for us, so if you would like to take advantage of the Bibles that are at the end of your pews or in your own hands or on your devices, I am reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Take off my mask and see if you still recognize me. You get older, it takes longer to get yourself together, so you have to be patient. Let's start with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your word written, and the word made flesh. We pray that you would help us to feed on it and on him, and be instructed both now and in life. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This congregation is full of smart people, and the one behind me is no exception. When I sent her my title for the sermon, she emailed me back and said, "I'll be waiting." And this morning was "To be or not to be." And I know you're creative people, so you can make up your own. So smart people are creative people. So there's your opportunity. Speaking of opportunities. I learned a few things in seminary. I learned that there's more than one way to preach a sermon. There's the exegetical way, where you zip open the text and unpack the meaning as faithfully as possible, or as humanly capable and beyond, with God's help. There's the topical way, where you choose a theme supported by Scripture, and sometimes the Scripture suggests the theme. And there's the narrative way, that's telling the biblical story just as it is. And I also learned, that's already two things I remember, it's a long time ago, formal education is a good thing, but soon you learn that it doesn't always translate neatly from the classroom into the street. So this morning I'm going to exegete the honeybee, tell something of its story and make some gospel connections, or at least try to. How's that for a plan? And this is the theme, but we'll get to that. Those are my honeybees on clover, actually. And that's some of our honey. That's Esther's favorite thing, is to see the liquid gold flowing out and into some containers. Mine is actually, that's rewarding, but I also enjoy rendering wax and seeing that nice, beautiful, bright yellow product at the end. So it's all good. But first things first, I have to brush off some of the rust. Sorry, Ike, I'm kind of making a mess here. You're good at cleaning, so there we are. One helpful person suggested that maybe they should set up a nice, peaceful buzz, you know, to make me feel at home. The buzz you hear in the hive. And I'm okay with that as long as you leave the B in front of the Z. That's okay. Then I'm good. And it's authentic and sustainable. So I think I've pretty much taken care of that. Second, I think I'm here by request, according to Lois. Someone thought I should preach a bee sermon. I think I opened my mouth maybe once too often. That's how beekeepers are. We like to talk bees with each other and with anyone who will stand still long enough to listen or pretend to. So I've got you where I want you. So we'll take a walk through the bee yard with God, kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden. And I'm sure there were bees buzzing around, and they were unafraid. That is, Adam and Eve and the bees. The fear came a couple of chapters later. Our text agrees with John chapter 1. The Son was there with God in the beginning when all things were created, including Apis mellifera, which is the scientific name for the honeybee, meaning honey bearer. So it fits well. Honeybees are one of the great marvels and mysteries of God's creation, and the more I learn, the more I study, the more I work with them, they truly are a great marvel to observe and to spend time with. And they are soothing and peaceful. I could stand there and watch and listen for hours, And I've sometimes thought I should bring my lawn chair and just sit there and watch with my Bible and listen and meditate, because it's just that kind of environment. I really enjoy it. And third, something interesting, and I'll hold it to one, because like I said, people like me can get carried away with bees. Honeybees are one of the few cooperative social insects among at least 20,000 bee species in the world. 20,000. And most are solitary. Honeybee is one of the only, if not the only, social insect in our world, which is pretty incredible. Honeybees are social, but they're also, of course, individuals, and they make individual decisions. They interact with their environment and with each other, and they communicate in some, amazing ways. Chemically, through sound, touch, and all kinds of ways. But their decisions are never only for them. All their decisions are in every way with the whole colony in mind and its survival and thriving. When you get stung, it's not personal. And I remind myself of that. And I've been stung on the fingers. You know, when you get comfortable with bees, you don't feel quite so distant or separated. And I work without gloves. Sometimes I forget to run my fingers along the frames to remove the bees out of the way, and I can tell you they don't like it when you squeeze them. They let you know. They literally sacrifice themselves when you're stung. They leave their stinger in your skin along with the venom sac, and it keeps pumping. So the thing to do is to quickly get it off of there and smoke it a little bit, because when they sting you, they also release an alarm pheromone that alerts everybody else. It says, come and help. There's someone here that's attacking us. So you have to kind of mask that. And that's what smoke does. Well, okay, we'll move on. That's enough of that. We need to get to this. Believe, be well, and be wise. And I've sort of lined that up with the three castes, so-called, or the three divisions of labor in the colony: the queen, the worker bees, and the drones. Queen, the one; the workers, the many, thousands; and the drones, which amount to hundreds. Believe. The queen is the heart of the colony. She is its very life. She lays anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 eggs a day. That's a lot. With her, the colony is vibrant, strong, and growing. She is the way and the life. Without her, the colony dies. It's that simple. You don't replace her. As the old worker bees, the foragers die, and a single bee only lives 25 to 35 days. They work themselves to death. And there are no new bees coming along to replace them every 21 days. It takes 21 days from egg to adult for worker bees. Then it's all over but the anguished cry of the beekeeper, what happened? Where are my bees? So you have to pay attention. As the queen bee is to the colony, so Jesus is to us and to the world. I am the way, he said, and I am bread for the hungry and water for the thirsty. In him there is truly life and life abundant, just as he said in the Gospel of John. The work of the queen isn't complicated. She has one thing on her mind and only one thing to do. Jesus had one thing on his mind, he had one thing to do, and he did it well. And the resurrection is the confirmation of that. His disciples could make it complicated, but for Jesus, it was simple. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the first step in our work is, as he said, to believe in the one he has sent. It's not complicated, it's that simple, and it's to our benefit. With whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Believe and be well. What keeps the colony vibrant, healthy, and strong? And by the way, the hive is actually the wooden part, the home. And the colony is actually the actual bees, just to give you that distinction. And again, it's the queen that holds it all together, as Christ the head holds the church in his hands and holds it together, in spite of us sometimes, and sometimes because of us. We're his servants. She releases a unique signature scent called the Queen Pheromone, and it's made up of 9 different chemicals. Somebody did the study and figured it out, and that's what it is. It's made up of 9 different, like a perfume, made up of different things to get a certain odor, and she's unique in the smell that she puts out there. And when you inspect the hive, you actually might see the queen. You don't have to. If you see eggs and young larvae, you know the queen's there, and that's as far as you need to go. But if you see her, count yourself lucky. She's different, but sometimes hard to spot. Esther and I actually saw her this summer in one of my hives, and it was pretty exciting. There she is. Really? Where? Right there. Oh, yeah. Because it may not happen again for a long time. And if you see her, as we did, you'll notice that she's surrounded by other worker bees. In fact, when you take out the frame and it's loaded with bees, it's harder to see her, but sometimes you can see this swirl of bees around the queen, and they do everything. They groom her. They feed her. They hover. They look after her because she's such an important part of the colony. And they do something else, extremely important. They pick up her scent. And as they cycle out from that royal court into the rest of the hive, they take that scent with them. And they spread it around among the other bees. And it sends a message and it says, the queen is here. She's alive and she's well. All is good. But the queen's scent can fade. It doesn't stay there. It has to be renewed over and over again, constantly refreshed. And if she dies, the bees know it within 15 to 30 minutes. And things start to go downhill fast, and I've seen it on the landing board. There's confusion, there's agitation, there's discord, and things descend from there, and it gets pretty ugly. It's sort of a sign that says something's wrong. And sometimes there's more noise in the hive. It gets louder and louder. Because something isn't there that needs to be there. They've lost the drive. They've lost meaning and purpose. And our text says, in him, that is Jesus, all things hold together, and through him all things are reconciled, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And here's the thing. When we take our eyes off Jesus, the crucified, we lose focus. And we see it. We see it in relationships. We can see it in the church. We can see it in the family. We can see it in friendships. It shows up in all kinds of ways because we've lost focus. We've lost direction and the meaning and the purpose of our lives within those circles. Just like the bees. Because we lose the scent of his presence, the smell of love flowing down from the cross that draws us to him. And it's not just for us. 2 Corinthians 4 says, for we are for God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. You know, the smell of fresh bread lingers. I like that smell. Who doesn't? But it doesn't stay. It needs to be refreshed over and over again. And who doesn't long for that refreshment? We need that. We need that through the Word written, and we need that through our contact with Jesus Christ. That's the way it happens. He is the heart and the center of us and ours and we. Just like the bees, we're not here just for us or for me. We're here for all of us. It's a together, not alone. Believe, be well, and be wise. Let's move on to the drones. And they live up to their name. The workers, by the way, are all female, the foragers. And the drones are all male. And the queen decides who comes. She decides who comes first or last. When she lays a fertilized egg, it's a worker. And when she lays an unfertilized egg, it's a drone. And she makes that decision. She's got a lot of power. But it's for the good of all. But drones don't do much. They live up to their name. They hang around. They beg for food. I've seen it. The feeders there. Please feed me. They stroke the workers when they... I'm hungry. They beg, and they're the first to get kicked out in fall. When I was back this week to sort of finish buttoning up the hive for winter, there were dead drones in front of the hive. And they'll uncap the brood cells and drag out the underdeveloped or the pupae out of the cell and get rid of them. Because drones are a drag on the winter resources. You didn't do anything for us, you know, when we needed you, and we don't need you now. You're just going to hold us back, and we're going to get rid of you. But they have one very important function. They carry the genetics of the colony and represent the hope and promise of a future. They fly out into what's called a drone congregation, sort of a gene pool from different hives. And their only work is to mate with virgin queens that seek them out. She mates with up to 20, and from that genetic material, she can lay eggs from 2 to 5 years. When Todd and Jeanette Hansen were here, we didn't get snuck that long ago. We joined them for lunch after church, and we talked honey. Surprising, I know. The Chinese, she said, love honey. They'll go to great lengths to source a good quality supply. And at one point, the Chinese church was looking for church planting support, and they asked about Canada. And Jeanette suggested they look elsewhere. She suggested Ethiopia. And they asked if they had good honey, and she said yes, and that sealed the deal. But for me, in a way, it's a troubling commentary on our vision, our collective vision, commitment, and structures within MC Canada. And as we heard last Sunday, the immigrant churches have the vision. It's affirmed and supported, but somehow it hasn't filtered into the whole system. We need that conversation that's supposed to come this summer at the annual churchwide gathering under the theme, "We Declare What We Have Seen and Heard." And it's a start to begin to address how we can become more faithful to the final command of Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations. We spread the genetics of the gospel or we die. There's another piece to this, if I can continue for a little bit longer, to this be wise. The bees have their enemies. It's not all sweetness and goodness. I'm a bird lover, but I've become less fond of kingbirds. They eat my bees. And I've cut off the branches. The bees are against some trees. I've cut off branches that they sit on and snag the bees as they're coming and going. I think they like the coming ones better because they taste sweeter. I carry my slingshot with me, like David, but unlike David, I'm not a very good shot. And good for the bees. I mean, good for the, Not good for the bees, good for the birds. And I at least try to make them think twice. But they're slow learners, kind of like me. So I've decided not to fight it. They can follow those bees anywhere and snatch them and eat them. And there's not much I can do. So I've made my peace in a way. There are 25 to 60,000 bees in one colony at the height of summer. And the birds really can't make much of a dent in that because they have to eat other things too, not just bees. The birds really don't, you know, aren't going to affect that in a big way. But I still don't like it. I still shoot at them. I still send rocks their way, but not with quite so much animosity. The greatest enemy in the beehive is the so-called Varroa destructor mite, a foreign invader from Asia that's been around some decades. It attaches itself to a bee like a leech, shortening its life and passing on destructive viruses. Some compare it to a rat hanging on us, just for size comparison. I know it sounds terrible. It's nasty, and there's a constant struggle to come up with ways to limit the damage and ultimately get rid of it. So the message to beekeepers is be wise, know your enemy, and stay vigilant or suffer the consequences. And I know from experience, the easiest person to fool is yourself. Jesus was very much aware of his enemy. At the very last, he prayed for his disciples' protection from the evil one. John 17, in that last prayer that he spoke, and offered his presence in the spirit and word for the fight. And Paul instructs the Ephesians to resist the enemy, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and says to them, there are ways, and God gives the means. Be wise and beware. Pray on all occasions, be alert, and always keep on praying for all God's people who face the same threat. And together with God, you will stand firm and free to share the power of the gospel and its mystery, which is Jesus, the ultimate enemy destructor. Before the honeybee, there was Jesus, the firstborn over all creation. And after the honeybee, there will be Jesus, and all eyes will be on him, the firstborn from among the dead. And he will reign supreme everywhere in everything, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not may it be so, but it will be so. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Herman, for that most interesting message. We all learned a lot about bees, but more importantly, the surprising parallel to our lives as followers of Christ. So thank you very much. We will now turn in our blue hymn books to hymn number 488. Strong Son of God, Immortal Love, 488. Please stand if you can. We will sing all five verses.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. May you be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in the knowledge of God. Amen.
Please now turn to number 73 in Sing the Journey, the Green Book. The Lord lift you up. This is kind of a gospel tune, so if you want to do a little improvising, go ahead. We will sing it through twice.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.